I thank the Lord and praise the Lord for the opportunities when He opens up the door and allows me to share His word, and just excited about what He has put on my heart this evening. And I pray that it'll encourage you and uplift you and challenge you. And got a little catchy title, hopefully, a sign that will make you wander. And if you turn over to John 4:48, it says, "So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe.'" And this is speaking about a nobleman that has come to Christ. Christ has come back to Galilee after being in Jerusalem. And he has performed one other miracle in his hometown here when he turned water into wine. And he's came back here. And this is the second miracle that he performs. But the nobleman has come looking for Christ because he has a son that is deathly ill and on his deathbed. And so he's trying to get a hold of Christ to heal his son and plead his case. And Christ tells him to go his way. Your son is alive. And sure enough, he goes his way. And so as we look at those signs and wonders that he's talking about here in this particular section, he's talking about miraculous signs and miraculous wonders. But this evening, to kick us off and kind of use it as a springboard, I want to talk about practical signs that we see each and every day. You know, the ones that we run across throughout our lives every day. And you know, as you're traveling around out there, you come across yard sale signs, you know. And the signs that we run across as we see these different signs throughout our travels, every single one of them are relaying information to us. And we're processing that and trying to figure out, what do we do with it? Do we use it? Do we discard it? Do we act on it? What do we do with it? What's the next one? You know, I love this one because it kind of, I think Burger King is the one who put us in this whole mess with "have it your way." They started that and it did away with absolute truth, right? You can just have everything your way, the way you like it. And I know it's really, really hard to read, but the last sentence in that says, "We may be the king, but you, my friend, are the almighty ruler." Now that's Burger King telling us that we're the almighty ruler. There's confusion in that. It breaks down the fact that we do have an almighty ruler, God, and it gives us this idea that we can just do whatever we want, live how we want to, but that's a sign, says we can have it our way. You can try it out if you want to. There's more subtle signs as you back out of your parking spot and you look there at the ground and there's an oil spot. Well, your car is probably giving you a sign that something's wrong. It may not be making it too much further. I had one of these signs earlier this week. Sunday evening, I go to the refrigerator, going to make me a bowl of cereal. It's late, don't want to eat a heavy meal. Pour me a bowl of cereal, I'll start to eat it, and the milk is kind of warm. I said, "That don't feel right. I like my milk crisp, cold." So I go over to the refrigerator and open it, feel around, and everything's a little bit cool. Open up the freezer and everything's starting to thaw out. So I got a subtle sign that your refrigerator's going out. You know, and as we get these signs and as we see these signs, the subtle ones, the ones that's bold, we have to make decisions with them. You know, there's other signs as we're traveling down the road, and these are probably the most important signs that we see each and every day of our lives as we're traveling out there. And if you want to put those up, some of those that we come across throughout the day, the yield sign. You know, you can obey it or disobey it. I put the speed limit of 200 up there because I can follow that one. Yeah. And the one way, Jesus, of course, is the only way, the true way. And I like that sign because on my 16th birthday, I'm going to relieve Brother Frank of his driving problems, I guess. But on my 16th birthday, I got my driver's license that day, went downtown in Panama City and was driving around. And I decided to disregard the one-way sign and turn left right up the one-way street and head on into a police officer. I come. I get my very first ticket the very first night I turned 16. So really, really encouraging. And like I say, the speed limit. By the time I was 21 years old, I had over 15 traffic violations. The Navy said, we can't accept you unless you get some kind of a waiver or something. You can't follow the simple basic rules of traffic. How are you going to follow the rules and demands that are on you in the military? But these are all signs. These are all things that's given us information, and we can either obey them or we can either disobey them. But you know, there's a sign out there that nobody likes to see. Not a single one of us likes to see this sign. And it's usually preceded by another sign, but we'll establish the sign that we don't like to see first. And think about it like this. You've spent your week, you're getting ready to go on a vacation trip, and you've got everything planned out. You've got a certain time. You either need to be at the airport, or you want to check in at a hotel, or you want to get to some place on time. And you've got it all right in your mind, and you're traveling, and all of a sudden you come across this sign. And this sign messes it all up, right? I mean, we hate to see that sign. We cannot stand it when we come across that, because we had everything planned the way we wanted to go. And this is truly an illustration of the detour sign. I mean, you know, here we are on Easy Street, the main interstate, running along smoothly, and the sign that precedes this one is normally road work ahead, something. You start seeing that and you're thinking, well, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it really isn't that drastic of road work. It's something on the edge and we can keep running. But you get there and it's this sign. You know, and the road that you were traveling on, it was nice, it was comfortable, it was smooth, it was easy going. And you know when you see that sign that that road that you're about to take is nowhere near the comfort. You know that it's not going to be a straight shot, and it's going to come with a lot of aggravation. And so we're just disheartened when we see that sign. But this evening, as we look at that and we have that kind of thought in our minds on how we deal with signs every day, and when we come across this sign, I want to look at Scripture and pull out God's signs to us in the same light and use these illustrations to kind of plug us in for practical applications on signs that we get from God. So if you want to turn over in your Scripture to, in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was the one that was taking over Judah at this point in time as king. He was a 12-year-old, and he was coming to be a king, and he was one of the kings that didn't find favor in God's sight. He came in there, and he started making altars to Balaam, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through about verse 13, and I'm just going to briefly explain 1 through 10, and then we'll use the three verses, 10, 11, 12, or four verses, 10, 11, 12, 13, to really pull out our text. But the first 10 verses is explaining Manasseh as the king, and what an awful king he is. He worshiped all the host of heaven. He built altars, and he placed hand-sculpted sculptures on there that represented Balaam, which was the sun god, or the gods of the heavens, which they had stars and moon gods and all of those things. And he created these images that he would worship, and they entered into witchcraft and idolatry, and they entered into sorcery. And so he was truly, when we start talking about a man that was not after God's heart, this is probably one of the greatest conversion stories in all of Scripture, maybe besides Paul. He was that brutal and that out of touch with the Lord. And so as we go through here and we see that, we come to verse 10 and it says, "And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people," but what does it say here? "But they would not hearken." You see, the Lord gives a sign, usually to begin with, it's through something we call natural revelation or special revelation. You know, natural revelation is God proclaiming himself out there. in the world that we live in, when you look at Mother Nature and how perfect everything works, and when you start to realize that as the sun is where it is every day, and it creates a 24-hour period every single day without fail, and how everything operates, and if the sun were to just move a few miles away, we'd freeze to death. Or if it would move a few miles closer, we would burn up. If the moon was out of whack, the oceans and the tides would flood and they wouldn't do right. And when we look around, God's saying, look, my creation claims that there's a God. You know that there's a God because of my creation. And special revelation, and to illustrate natural revelation, if you want to put that Romans 1:20 up there, it says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's saying there's nobody here that can claim their righteousness and claim that they didn't know, because God has said, I'm there. I'm available. I've made myself known through natural revelation. Special revelation is God has used His Word. When we pick up the Word of God and we start reading what He has written to us, that's the infallible Word of God. That's the truth. That is the ultimate truth that we can stand on and put our faith and trust in. And through that, we get special revelation. God's revealing His character to us. He's revealing how He is and how He wants us to act. And so we know God through these revelations. And that's what's happening here in verse 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and said, hey, what are you doing? Why are you following after these false gods, false idols? Where are you looking at? So God has really threw up a sign telling them to beware. But they chose to disobey, right? They chose to just continue on their way. Well, what happens after God gives us a sign sometimes? You know, what happens whenever you're there and you're going down the road and you see men working ahead, but you don't really pay it much attention and you just keep flying along, right? You've given the warning, but nah, oh well, let's just keep going. Well, that's kind of what's happening here. 2 Chronicles 33:11 says, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. So we see God gave his enemies reign over him. He didn't have the protection of God because he wasn't following God's commands. He wasn't being obedient to the signs that he was given. So he had slipped back into this idolatrous place, and now God has said, okay, if you don't want to obey what I've told you, then there's a detour sign here. I'm sure that Manasseh did not want to get captive by his enemies. He didn't want to be, this wasn't his plan. When he was planning out his route, this was not in his plan. This is a detour. And don't we, as Christians, find ourselves in those same situations? Don't we find ourselves going down the road and God has thrown up signs to us and said, hey, you thinking about doing this or doing that, but you haven't consulted me in prayer. You haven't consulted my word and the direction that I've given you for your life. You're not being obedient to the Holy Spirit. You're quenching it. But we say, but we're okay. We'll just keep on going. Well, detours sometimes come into our lives because of that. Because of those actions, there's a consequence. So the detour throws us off and puts us on the road that's not so easily traveled. But it's not only that. You see over in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, where God talks about the narrow gate and the broad gate, right? And he's saying, look, the broad way is easy traveled. That path is easy once you get through the gate. But there's a sign there saying you've got to go through the narrow gate. There's a detour sign there that says this is the right gate over here. And if you ignore that detour sign and you go past it on the easy road, it says it lends in destruction. The bridge is missing up ahead. You can bypass it if you want to, but it ends abruptly. But also, if you go through the narrow gate, the hard way, it says that path is extremely hard. See, God never promised us as Christians that we were going to have this life of luxury and we weren't going to be put through temptations and trials and tribulations. So we're going to find ourselves at times, even though we are in the Word of God and we're following what His Word says, all of a sudden a family member dies or something happens, you get in a car wreck, we end up in a detour situation that we wasn't really planning for. You know, so that's what's happening to Manasseh here. He gets captivated by his enemies and he's in this detour that he really did not want to be in. But in verse 12, the Lord starts getting his attention. And that's what happens to us. It says, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. So God had to get him off of the easy path that he was traveling on and his disobedience, and he had to throw a detour in there for him to realize that he was wrong. He had to divert his attention to get his attention. And so as he did that, he says, and when he was afflicted, he besought the Lord. How many times do we travel throughout our life and when we're on easy street, we're on the interstate, and we don't go before the Lord. We don't pray like we should. But then as soon as the detour sign comes up, we're going to jump on the floor and start pouring our hearts out to the Lord. Please help us. But that's what God uses to grow us closer to Him and draw us in and pull us by His side. He uses those detours, even though they're not planned at times, even though they're not necessarily your fault. There are detours that come because we are disobedient and we don't abide in Christ as He says we should. But that's what's happening here, and He's gotten His attention. And in verse 13, it's awesome. He says, and prayed unto Him, and He was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into His kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was his God. It's a great conversion, probably one of the greatest conversions in all of Scripture, like I said, other than Saul. And you can look over in Acts chapter 9 and look at Paul's events. In chapter 4, Acts chapter 9, verse 4, it says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's the first way that the Lord gets your attention, right? He throws that sign out there of how good he is, how merciful he is, how wonderful he is, trying to get your attention with love, saying, hey, I'm talking to you. What are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this to me? He gets his attention with that first subtle sign that we talked about. The Lord speaks. And then if you look over at verse 8, following Paul's story, and it said, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. You see, when Paul got up and looked around, he was blind. The detour sign just happened. Wait a second, I can't see anything anymore. This changes everything. I can't continue on my path. I have to be obedient now to what he's told me to do. I must follow those that are leading and guiding me now. So the detour sign has been thrown up for Paul. And in verse 16, it says this about for Paul. It says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. There's a scripture that also says, I can't remember it right off, but the one that says that we should consider the cost of being a Christian. Consider what it's going to take to follow Christ. And Christ is saying right here, now you're going to see what it's like to suffer for my name's sake. Paul's on the detour. Saul is on the detour at this point in time. He's been blinded, and now he's facing suffering in Christ's name. And over in Acts 22, 6 through 16, we get the completed story because Paul then is standing before those over him, and he's starting to give his verbal testimony in Acts 22, 6 through 16. And he's basically telling what his testimony is. And in verse 16, it comes and it says, "And now, while they tarriest thou, arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You know, the Lord told him, you must repent. You must be forgiven of your sins, and now call on the name of the Lord and be baptized. And so we see Saul converted into Paul because of a detour sign that ended up on the road to Damascus. There were other signs that Paul was given prior to this, but he avoided them. He rejected them. He denied them. He continued on the easy street, and he ended up at the detour sign. And so as I look through this, and we go back to our, we can go back to our original text of John 4:48. And like I said, this is basically a nobleman coming to Christ. And it says in verse 43, it said, "Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." And he's speaking about coming back into his own hometown and not having any honor. "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." Now, this nobleman, do you think that he would have came and searching for Christ on that day if his son hadn't have been sick of illness and dying? We don't really know. But what we do know is because his son did get sick and because his son was on his deathbed, there was a detour sign in the nobleman's life. And on that detour, it led him to Christ. And Christ revealed himself to him. And then he showed his faith in Christ and he sent him on his way and Christ performed a miracle. So we see this. We see the detour signs are thrown up there even for those that aren't necessarily living out of disobedience. And so as we go through our lives and as we go through our days and we come across obstacles and detours that put us on these roads that are not easy roads to travel, you know, in conclusion, kind of, there was a friend of mine was telling me a story about going across the mountains, going over into Gatlinburg or something like that. And he had set out on his trip, like we was talking about, planned to be over there at a certain time. Well, he's going through the mountains, and sure enough, one of those signs come up, detour. Now, I don't know how many of you have traveled through the mountains, but there's not many roads through the mountains. There's few to get you to the other side. And so when you run across one up there in the mountains, you're going, this could be really bad. This could be trouble. But as he took that road, he shared with me that he was very, very upset about it, you know, and he's going back along through there, frustrated. He's not going to make it on time. But as he drove and he looked around, he saw pastures that were green and deer grazing in them. Big hunter. He loved to see it, you know. He went by some lakes and they were beautiful. And he thought, man, I would love to stop and go fishing there for a little while. And as he drove, the scenery just got better and better as he continued around the other way to the point that he said, you know, the next time I go, I think I would travel that road again. And there he was so frustrated and angry that he was going to have to go that way. And so when we're traveling down those roads as these men of God were here that were converted, and God says, wait a minute, I got a detour for you. I'm going to send you on one of those paths over here. Pay attention, because God's got something good for you. As bad as it may seem, as ugly as it may seem, and as down as we may get, God's saying, I've got something for you. I couldn't get your attention any other way than to put you on this detour. God's sovereignty is perfect. He's perfect, and He knows the detours that He's going to make you go, because He knows how to get your attention. He knew how to get these men of God's attention by saying, pay attention, listen. And so when we're going through life and we face them, be paying attention, looking for the signs that God's going to give us as we're on the detour road. He'll show you something that you would have never seen before if you didn't have to go down it. And we should praise Him for it and thank Him for it and give Him the glory. And we should be strengthened. We should be drawn closer to Him instead of pushed further away. You know, the lost don't see things that way. They look at it, well, there's a Christian going through a hard time. Oh, he must not be living his life right. He must not be doing something right. You know, and they don't understand that when you get on those detours, that you can give God the glory and the praise even in those times that we're hurting. And so it brings so much glory to God when we do it. You know, so I hope it may have been short tonight, but you may thank me for that. Get you out of here in time to eat before midnight. Brother Frank, I was giving you a hard time about your driving earlier, but I took the blunt. I took the blunt part of it there. We were having directional signs for driving. Wish you could have been here for that part. But I thank each and every one of you for coming this evening. It blesses my heart. As we've said before, I enjoy teaching Sunday school class. And when the room's full and people come to hear God's word, and you get to fellowship with one another, and you get to share your burdens and your hurts, it just makes it so much better. And so I thank you for being here this evening and hearing me. And I appreciate Brother Frank thinking about me this evening and giving me the opportunity. And praise be to God. Hopefully, and He encouraged you. Let's close out with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I do thank you. I come before you with a humble heart, and I thank you so much for using me this evening, Lord. I just pray that your word would go out and that it would not come back void, Lord, that it would strengthen us and give us encouragement and give us a direction to go, Lord, even whenever we're faced with obstacles in our life, the detours of our life, Lord. I pray that we will cling tight to you and we will call out your name, Lord, that we would glorify you in our situations, that it may magnify you before those that are lost and on their way to hell, Lord, that they may choose a detour sign that leads them through the narrow gate and they can accept you, Lord. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.